morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, November 21st, 2018. We have 23 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule, so a big schedule. This week, we just seem to have a lot of ships coming in. In our marine weather forecasts, in matching the on-land weather forecasts we're hearing, we have some rowdy weather coming our way, relatively speaking. Small craft advisory for winds in effect through this afternoon. Small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect through late tonight. And that's going to ramp up to a gale watch from late tonight through Thursday afternoon. Today we have south winds 15 to 20 knots, gusting to 25. Wind waves from the south 4 feet high at 5 seconds. West swells 4 feet at 12 seconds apart, building to 9 feet at 14 seconds apart. In the rain, and rain is also part of the forecast on land and sea today. Now, you can see the sea heights rising the longer the wind blows. That's a pretty normal function. The term they use out at sea is fetch, the length of across an open stretch of ocean. The longer the wind blows over a long stretch of ocean like that, like we have right out here off the Oregon coast for thousands of miles, the wind builds up the waves. So sometimes the swells are coming to us from as far away as Japan, as I've said before. And so by the time they reach here, they're kind of big. And the more the local wind waves get in on the act, they start making the local waves rise up more. So anyway, we're looking at some opportunities maybe to do a little wave watching here. But be careful if you're out on the beach, of course, in stormy weather. We have, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders. We have 11 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 9 outbounders. And on Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, we have 7 ships coming in. We'll talk about those too. Let's see. Our first arrival in the river is the Shell Duck. She's arriving from Mexico, headed for the Longview Anchorage, but she will be going up to pick up petcoke eventually at the port of Longview, and she will pass Astoria around maybe 10 a.m., so about 3.5 hours later you might see her at Longview. The White Coral is arriving from Japan. She is headed for the port of Vancouver. I think maybe copper concentrate is what she's picking up, but she won't pass Astoria until maybe around midnight, and about 6 hours later you might see her running lights early in the morning, coming into the port of Vancouver. On Thanksgiving Day, we have the Ionic Clios arriving from South Korea. She's headed for the Rice Island Anchorage. She'll be arriving there about 6:30 in the morning, maybe 6 or so. The Warnow Moon is arriving from China, headed for Vancouver to pick up copper concentrate on Thanksgiving Day. She'll pass Astoria early in the morning, maybe around 7:30. The tug C-SPAN Rogue will be arriving from Vancouver, headed for the port of Astoria as Pier 2. She could be undergoing customs inspection, and she might be coming in to pick up a barge. So if you see a barge anchored off Tongue Point in that area on the east end of Astoria, that could be why she's here. The Pegasus is going to be arriving from South Korea tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, around 11:30 a.m., arriving in the Astoria Anchorage. The Nord Baltic is arriving from South Korea in the late afternoon. She's headed for up to Vancouver to anchor, but she's going to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash. The Matson Tacoma is arriving from Alaska. She's headed for the dry dock at the port of, in Portland there at the Swan Island Shipyard. The Harvest Leader is arriving from Japan. She's a car carrier with Subarus on board. She's headed for the port of Vancouver. In the Astoria Anchorage, the Spirit of Sea Trek actually is at the Rice Island Anchorage. She is headed upriver probably tomorrow morning early to pick up wheat. Also in the Rice Island Anchorage, we have the African Tern and the Pinnacle Bliss and the Ultra Diversity. Those ships are waiting there. In the off the downtown waterfront in Astoria, the Supernova, the Stella Pearl, the New Honor, and the Minusus P. And at the port of Astoria, we have the Tunsin. Loading logs there at the port of Astoria. Our outbounders for today are the Global Mirai. She's leaving Longview with wheat on board, probably around 7:30 or so. That'll 3.5 hours later, look for her past Astoria. The Daria Jamuna is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 7:30 a.m. Usually takes about 6 hours to get down to Astoria when you leave Vancouver on the river. The ATB, Articulated Tug and Barge, Sound Reliance, she's a Crowley-owned vessel, is Articulated Tug and Barge vessel. She's leaving Portland about 10 o'clock, maybe 4 p.m. past Astoria, Refined Petroleum there. The Rainbow is a dry bulk carrier leaving the port of Portland by about 2 p.m. with potash on board, 2:30 or so. The Luminous Ace is leaving Portland with, she's a car carrier. She could have at least some Fords on board headed to Asia. The Neba Galaxy is leaving Vancouver, petroleum on board, leaving around 5 p.m. She's a tanker. Maybe about 11 p.m. past Astoria. The Glovis Composer is a car carrier leaving the port of Portland with Hyundai's on board. So she's one of those high-sided car carriers heading out about 6 p.m. So around midnight, you might see her running lights going by if you can see the river from where you are. The Belgrano is leaving Calama, corn, soy, or wheat on board there, leaving about 7:30 p.m. So maybe about 1:30 in the morning. And the Belle Island is a bulk carrier leaving early tomorrow morning around 5 p.m. from Portland outbound with potash on board. So she'll probably pass Astoria around 11 a.m. Well, you know, I always hear stories about bringing back sail. Not canvas sail like you see. Think of square riggers or clipper ships, which were amazingly fast sailing cargo ships that can rival the speed of container ships these days. Now the container ships have slowed down a little bit. But at any rate, sail was a really competitive, successfully competitive way of getting around on the ocean. And so with fuel and other considerations, pollution from ships, the industry in general is always looking at ways to stop using so much fuel because it is that and personnel are the two biggest expenses on board a ship for the owners. So owners have a vested interest in cutting those costs. And the happy byproduct would be that if we could find a way to do it with something like wind, it would lower emissions. So this is a story about a Danish company that has teamed up with a handful of other companies in the UK to study the feasibility of fitting a modern bulk carrier with sail power. And every once in a while, these stories come up and I share them with you. But this is the newest one that I've seen. Now, this is a ship owner called Ultra Bulk, and we do occasionally see their ships in the anchorage. And just a little point of information, when you're looking out at a ship and you see those big letters on the side that say Ultra Bulk, that's not the name of the ship. The name of the ship, which might be any of those names that I just mentioned, in like say the War Now Moon or the Pegasus or the Nord Baltic, the name of the ship, which is peculiar to it, is on the back of the stern of the ship. The very rear end is where each ship has a name, and a port of registry, and when you see that name on the side of the ship in those big blocky letters, it's usually the name of the ship owner. So Ultra Bulk, very big shipper, is teaming up to find ways to cut carbon emissions and costs in the shipping industry. The first 6 months of the project will involve a feasibility study establishing the mechanical parameters for retrofitting these sort of computer-operated sails that would stand on masts that stick up, and they would sort of rotate depending on what the computers tell them to do. So this would not be your hands-on sailing with lines and no tacking where everybody would yell, come about, like you do on a sailboat. This would be electronically controlled. But there are many benefits to it. Among them are cutting the cost of fuel. And here's our industry spokesperson who said, fuel prices are vulnerable to oil market volatility, but once the technology is developed, wind is free at the point of use. The first onshore wind turbines were single devices, and we're seeing fleets of them producing energy. So they're thinking that they can make that transition at some point into the shipping industry. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day and a great Thanksgiving weekend.